this a go. Hello and welcome to the ADH Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund, and this week we're in the car again.
Woo!
Look, honestly, the audio is probably going to be even worse than the last time, because not only do I not have my microphone equipped to my camera right now, this is a super improv, didn't really know this thing was going to happen type thing, but also I'll be driving through the streets of Detroit, which are pretty, well, I'll be driving toward the streets of Detroit on the highway towards it, and lots of potholes, lots of bumps. I'm so sorry. I'll try to clear out the noise. I'll try to see what I can do as far as clearing out the audio. Likely will not sound particularly delicious, but I needed to bring you in on this little adventure that I'm on because holy wow, if I reflect and truly allow myself to appreciate what I have, what I've been given, what I've experienced, what I've learned, what I've endured, and I just allow myself to appreciate it, my life's kind of cool and something kind of cool just happened. So, I will say, let's just fucking rip the bandage off, right? I was just gifted yesterday morning. It is now Tuesday, 12:36 p.m. Monday morning, I was gifted a free ticket to see Blink-182 in Detroit. I'm sorry, the camera is shaking. The audio is probably terrible. But yes, you heard it right. I was gifted a free, count it free, ticket to go see Blink-182. My favorite, unequivocally most influential band in my personal music career of all time. Now, you know, I'll probably title this something along the lines of, "We get it. You love Blink-182," because I talk about these guys all the time. But I think it's really important to communicate just how important they are to me creatively, how much confidence they gave me. And I get it, people. Let me just say up front, they're just people. They're just dudes. They're crazy guys who like to make music. They even identify as making crappy pop punk. And some people believe that. But I may, in this episode, break down why I believe that's not true. But most importantly, when I first picked up a pair of drumsticks, aside from just being in an orchestra band where we were all together learning under the guise of one teacher who was instructing us, when I first started learning how to play a drum set by myself to learn some of the music I wanted to learn, I was learning Blink-182. And for those that don't know much about Blink-182, and I know I've already turned a good portion of you off because you don't particularly care, I'm not really gonna like try to convince you to like Blink-182 or get into the pop punk music scene or really understand their music on a different spiritual level, man. I just want to talk about kind of why this particular show, going to this particular show, means a lot to me. So it's important to start with, yeah, when I was first learning how to play the drum set, I was trying to learn everything Travis Barker did. And if you don't know much about Blink-182, other than the fact that one of the guys in the band is married to a Kardashian, one of them just got over cancer, and one of them really believes in aliens and is possibly, potentially in contact with the government and high-level officials about disclosing the existence of alien technology existing in our airspace. I don't know. I don't know how far I want to lean into possibly believing. Listen, I'm clearly all in on aliens and maybe even believing that they're here. I just don't know how much Tom DeLonge knows about it. Maybe you don't even know anything about that. For what it's worth, Tom DeLonge, one of the singers and the guitarist of Blink-182, is all about disclosure about this UFO thing that's been happening a little more recently, but of course it's been happening for decades, if not centuries, if not millennia. But he vehemently believes that he is responsible for a lot of the disclosure stuff that's happening right now. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. I'm not here to argue that. I'm just saying that's kind of what he's known for outside of Blink-182 and his other musical projects. ADHD / side note, the best Clif Bar is a peanut butter banana flavored Clif Bar. You can have a chocolate chip. You can have your crunchy peanut butter or your mint chocolate chip or whatever flavor, the blueberry crisp. But the peanut butter banana is perfect. Ah, chef's kiss. Anywho, Travis Barker is known as a really talented drummer. You can argue whether or not he's the best drummer in the world, and people try to do that, and they compare him to other drummers all the time. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's apples to oranges. Everyone has their own individual unique style. That's where style comes from. You get influenced by other people that crafts and turns into this unique perspective on art and creativity. You then make that art, then somebody gets inspired by that, they take a piece of that. It's just like the evolution of art is inspired by art from its previous evolutions. Okay? I think he's an extraordinarily talented drummer. And when I first got into wanting to play a drum set, I was like, that's the guy to try to model my style after. Now, like, I wasn't covering myself head to toe in tattoos. May look like it because I have prominent ones. I really only have like 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I have less than 10 tattoos. He's literally covered in head to toe. And back in the day, I say that being maybe 2007, 2008, Blink-182 was going through a period of being broken up. They were not together. This is when I was first really getting into Blink-182. They had already split and separated. I was watching YouTube videos constantly. I'm passing a semi-truck. It's probably going to blow out this audio. It's interesting to me that as the podcast goes further and further on, I just try to have you guys excuse the bad audio rather than going above and beyond to try to find solutions to fix it. I love your patience and dedication to listening regardless. Thank you so much. However, where am I at? I could talk about Clif Bars some more, but I know that's not the last thing I said. Have I mentioned that the crunchy peanut butter is the best? Because I'll do it again. Let's see, Blink-182, Travis Barker. Oh, yes, I was watching YouTube videos in that 2007-2008-ish range. And I remember early on seeing a video where Travis said, an interviewer or a reporter was trying to ask him, like, why are you covering yourself in head to toe, like, with tattoos? Aren't you nervous about, like, what that perception will bring? Like, and this is before, this interview was before Blink-182 was, like, worldwide. They were having a pop, of course, but, like, this is the early 2000s. Yes, they're having, like, their huge success, but the interviewer was basically coming to them from the angle of, like, well, what happens if the band fails along the way and you need to get a real job? Like, or weren't you ever nervous about, like, what if I have to sign up for a real job and this band thing goes nowhere? And I remember Travis Barker's response basically being like, no, you don't understand why I've even done this tattoo thing. Like, I have these tattoos to express myself and my creativity and my art. It is therefore inherent that if any employer or company or corporation or whatever does not agree with the way that I express myself just by my appearance alone, so long as it's non-offensive, and even the word offensive is subjective, but you understand, you get the picture. He's like, I would never work for that type of company anyway. So, like, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy that, like, I will only work for companies or businesses or do things with people or for people who accept me for who I am, regardless of how I look, you know, how I sound, you understand. I loved that. That resonated with me very early. I was like, I don't know, like I said, maybe 6th, 7th. I was middle school-ish, definitely. 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I just had a brilliant idea. They need Cliff, the Cliff Bar brand, needs to lean into coffee creamers. Right? I'm not saying a peanut butter banana creamer would be good in your coffee. But they do flavors so well that I'm sure they could nail some coffee creamers. Cliff Bar, hit me up. Anywho, so yeah, that's kind of where that Travis Barker influence first started coming in. So I'm trying to model my drumming after him. I'm trying to believe in the philosophy of, like, I will only work for or with people who allow me to express my truest self. You know, my first job was McDonald's, so I clearly did not really believe that. But I was allowed to have a tattoo when I worked at McDonald's. That was cool. Actually, no, I wasn't. I just remembered. I either had to wear long sleeves while I was at McDonald's, or I had this, like, skin-colored, like, wrap. Maybe it was like a sweatband. It was something. It was something big that I would have to wrap around my arm. Or just gauze. Because they were like, that looks better than... At the time, I have a tattoo of a cross and two people's names in it. Like, you telling me that the personification of Christianity and two deceased friends was offensive at McDonald's? I almost covered for you, McDonald's. But no, you made me cover that shit up. My ETA is getting later and later. That's annoying. Wow, ADHD in full effect. So I've got highway hypnosis. I feel like I'm driving so much lately that it's like, I feel like I'm always on the road, which is great. I'm like going to cool opportunities. I'm going to be doing cool things, seeing cool stuff, telling cool stories, but my lumbar hurts. I'm tired of being in this car. My eyeballs are just like laser focused. So naturally, naturally the progression of my obsession with Blink-182 was very generational, right? Like, my closest friends were really getting into them. We were all trying to, like, maybe be rock stars one day because they were learning guitar. I was, like, drumming in the high school band, like, the high school band class. Oh, wow, I see, like, 5 miles of traffic, so we are slowing it down. Oh, you hear that rumble? That's potholes, baby. Welcome to Michigan! excuse me. Okay, I am surrounded. I've got an Ohio license plate, a Wisconsin license plate, and a Texas license plate. Texans? Texas? What did I say? I meant to say Texas. Anyways, these homies, Live For Tomorrow. If you're not familiar with them, I would say go check them out, but I don't know what they're doing right now. I know that they're possibly rebranding. You know what? Just go check them out. It's a band that started in my basement as a young lad. And yes, we essentially started, it was all of our first band. The first time we ever identified as a band. Like, we were playing music with friends before. Like, we'd sit down and, like, somebody would play guitar with me while I had my drum set. Once I got my drum set, and, you know, Ethan and Nick and Eddie would all play together with people. But we were a band for the first time. We're all like 12, 13 years old. And honestly, for the first long while, we were just a Blink-182 cover band. Blink-182, All-American Rejects, Fall Out Boy. We were just in that zone. We were less focused on making music, more focused on learning music. And what better band to play live than a band we were all obsessed with? So then 2009 happens. Blink-182 has a reunion. They get back together at the Grammys. They announce, like, it was a very weird, like, awkward, oh, they're all back together for the first time. Nobody's really seen them together in a long while. This is, so I think maybe a year or two before, Travis Barker was in a plane crash. He almost died. His best friend at the time, DJ AM, did die. And I believe the pilot of the plane as well. I don't know if Travis Barker was the only one to survive, but he survived where others did not and was severely injured. And that, you know, supposedly got everybody together, and tragedy and trauma breeds growth. And so the homies got back together, and they suppose, you know, we're going to make new music again. And they announce it at the Grammys, saying something along the lines of, like, they were saying something unrelated. And then they said, Blink-182 is back. And then it was like, woo, oh shit, oh great, cool, all right. And then they didn't talk about that. They just went on to, like, announce that there's another award recipient or something like that, you know what I mean? So that was really exciting. I mean, to be a Blink-182 fan, it was underwhelming in hindsight, but, like, as a Blink-182 fan, you're like, oh my God, it's happening. Blink-182 music is coming back again. And for me, this is the first time that the band is actually going to be together in my understanding of knowing them. Because I think they broke up in, like, 2004, 2005? I don't know. I was in fourth or fifth grade by then, so I didn't hear about them until just shortly after they broke up. So Blink-182 is back together. They announce that they're going on tour, not for a few years. They don't go out until 2011. They don't even announce that they're doing an album until after the tour was over, I think. But so the first time I ever see them was, yeah, I believe 2011 on September 11th. It was this opening group, Matt and Kim, who I did have a moment where they actually blew up. Maybe you're familiar with it. I don't remember much about them other than them doing a live, like a poppy cover of that, like, you got what I need song. Oh, I have to get over. I did not realize that the right lane was closed. I am an asshole. So that was fun. And then My Chemical Romance played. And then Blink-182. Amazing. Phenomenal. Wow. Oh, wow. There might even be an old vlog that exists with some of that footage. If it does exist, I'm going to cue it now.
Friend Tom DeLonge is crazy sick tonight. He's lost his voice. He's had a cold for the past 5 days. And he's like, no way we're canceling this show. I love Detroit.
So that show happens, obviously phenomenal. That was probably, I think, my first, like, I'm sure I'd seen music on a stage somewhere, but I did not go to a concert, in my understanding. Actually, that's not true. I may have seen the Christian worship band Hillsong United first, live in concert. I don't remember for sure if that was first. It was around the same time, because that was when I was going to church. So I was seeing Blink-182 at one show where they have a song where the lyrics are literally shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat. Now, to be clear, we're going to come back to this. That is not all Blink-182 does. I know the perception is they're the guys who say fuck, and they're the guys who, like, make jokes about fucking your mom and that kind of thing. They do that. That's part of them. They also make very progressive punk music. And I know a lot of people think that punk music is, like, very fast, like, it's not that. Clip that. It's not a lot. Some of it is that. Yes, again, of the pie chart that is Blink-182, part of it is dick jokes. Part of it is really fast music. And some of it is, like, an experiment in what rock and punk and pop music is allowed to be. in a semi-serious tone. I mean, let's give an example. In early 2000, I can't remember when Enema of the State came out, but they have an album called Enema of the State. Okay, I get it. It sounds silly. I understand. It's not appealing to a general audience that isn't fond of duty humor or butt jokes or, you know, that kind of thing. To add another layer on top of it, the album art is of a hot nurse with her cleavage exposed, and then she's got a rubber glove on, and she's, like, snapping it and, like, biting her lip. I get it. To a large audience, it's not appealing if, like, that's not your thing. And then you get into it, and yeah, they've got some fun songs. They've got some just, like, normal standard punk songs. And then they've got a song called Adam's Song, which is a song which is basically like I might be mixing my albums up here. I feel silly because maybe this is on Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. But either way, their exterior appeal is silly humor. And then they have a song called Adam's Song, where it's basically a goodbye letter from a young boy who's about to commit suicide, and he's trying to tell his family that he loves him, and that he hopes that they don't miss him, and that, you know, that to some people he's saying, you'll be sorry when I'm gone, but to others he's saying, like, please tell mom this is not her fault. It's almost as if what they are doing in their music and through their art is just a personification of who people are. We make jokes. Sometimes we're inappropriate and we're immature and, you know, we say things out of place that aren't generally appealing to a large audience. But we have a lot to say, right? Like, we have stories to tell that matter to people, that resonate with people. But you gotta, like, get through that exterior surface, okay? And again, these men are just men. They're just dudes. They're just people. They're just human beings. They're not prophets. They're not gods. They are just as capable, or you are just as capable of everything that they were able to manage as a group. David, don't forget that, damn it. I hope I come back to that, because that's kind of the point of why I'm doing this podcast in general. Not just because I'm on my way to see Blink-182, but because I do have a thematic ending to what I'm trying to say here. Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself. What just happened? Did I go on a rant? I blacked out. Okay, so I saw them in 2009, right? Then I see them, then they break up, okay? It happens again. Everybody's really pissed. They put out one album, and then they put out an EP, and then everybody's like, well, what the hell happened? I thought we were all good. You guys were buddies, blah, blah, blah. Tom DeLonge leaves again. Mark Hoppus and Travis Barker decide Blink-182 is going to stay a band. We are just going to have someone take over for Tom's spot. To, like, diehards, it was a 50-50 split in that, like, you can't, it's a three-piece, man. Blink-182 isn't Blink-182 without Tom DeLonge. What about all these small things, and where are you? And, like, the voice inside my head. Like, what? You can't have Blink-182 without that guy. And I get that. Like, I felt that way. I'm legitimately saying maybe, because I don't really remember feeling that way, but maybe for a minute I did. I have sneeze. Oh, woo! There's at least two more coming, right? Right? Apparently not. So, they replace Tom DeLonge, who is continuing making music with his other band, Angels and Airwaves. When Blink-182 split the first time, Mark and Travis created the band Plus 44 with a bunch of other people whose names I actually don't really remember. And Tom DeLonge started Angels and Airwaves with a bunch of names of people I don't really remember. The bands are both excellent, and I listen to a lot of the music. I just don't really do a deep dive on it. When they split again, Blink-182 stayed together, Angels and Airwaves started making more music again. Plus 44 did not reunite. But they introduced Matt Skiba, who was the lead singer of Alkaline Trio is the lead singer of Alkaline Trio and plays guitar. So they needed guitar in Blink-182. Matt stepped in to play guitar, and he has a great voice. Might as well. It's just going to be, Mark is still going to be singing. Matt might as well sing on the new stuff as well. And they put out an album, California, which I thought was an excellent pop punk album. Like, I really do. Haters gonna hate. I don't give a shit. Whatever, right? I enjoyed it. Thought it was great. I think it's totally fine to remain Blink-182. That's what happened with Live for Tomorrow, right? I left. They continued making music. They continued gaining fans. Why not just stay the same name, right? Like, one person swapping out is not fundamentally reshaping the entire band. I hate to say it, artists, some of us are replaceable in some positions. That's fine. Okay? It's totally different. We just have to accept that. Move on. Blink-182 remained the same. All that to say, I saw them again in 2016? 17? 18? One of those. With Matt Skiba at DTE in Detroit. I'm going to Little Caesars Arena to see them now, which is the first time I'm going to have been in Little Caesars Arena. I used to be a big hockey guy, and the Little Caesars Arena is taking over for the Joe Louis Arena, which used to be the Detroit Red Wings hockey team sports event center. Whatever. ADH Deep Dive. I feel like I have to say ADH Deep Dive to excuse when I acknowledge that, like, snap back, David. Come on, get on track. Like, I'm saying out loud to remember, like, you know, it's okay to have these, like, little brain farts and, like, go on these little tangents, but if I say ADH Deep Dive, I remember that I'm not just talking, I'm doing a podcast. So, ADH Deep Dive. It was all-time low, A Day to Remember, and then Blink-182. It was a totally different experience seeing Blink-182 with Matt Skiba and Blink-182 with Tom DeLonge. At the Tom DeLonge show in 2009 or 2011, there was a whole Travis Barker drum solo where he raises up his platform and, like, comes out onto the crowd and, like, does some, like, twists and spins and then goes upside down and is drumming upside down and doing a drum solo. They obviously played some more Tom DeLonge-centric heavy music. With Matt Skiba, there's a lot less banter. He's a fantastic musician, fantastic vocalist. I think he's also very funny. They just didn't do as much quippy back and forth. They weren't doing the quote-unquote dick joke, butt joke stuff that they are known for, which I think maybe helps their persona. And throughout the Matt Skiba era, they released both Bored to Death and Dark Side, which are two of the biggest singles of Blink-182, at least modern history. Like, it got them on the radar for, like, a younger generation again. Which, say what you want about, like, conforming to, like, meet the youth trendy standards, but it definitely kept Blink-182 alive and relevant enough for this moment last year when Blink-182, last year being 2022, what year is it? Holy shit, what is time? When Blink-182 announced that Tom DeLonge was rejoining the band, Matt Skiba would be exiting. I have no internet connection. And it says SOS? Why? Does that mean I can only call emergency numbers? Can you call 911 without any service? Probably, right? But how does that work? And if you can call 911 without any service, why can't you call everyone without any service? Is this a conspiracy? I'm willing to believe that it's a conspiracy to, like, make us pay big tech only if it's true that you can call 911 without internet service. Or without any, not internet service, but without any, wireless service, without any service, phone service. When the phone doesn't allow me to call anybody else, but it allows me to call 911. If I can do that, it's a conspiracy. If I can't, I've derailed. ADH Deep Dive, right? Back on track. I'm shedding time. My ETA is 2 o'clock again. That's perfect. I said I'd be there around 2 o'clock. Back on track, David. What are you saying? Okay. I saw them fantastic, great. I loved the show. No, I've skipped that. Tom DeLonge rejoins. Fantastic news, oh my God. Yes, they're gonna be making new music. They released the song Edging. That's how they announced that Tom's back in the song, or back in the group. They shot a music video, they released a single, and then they said that they're working on a new album. Aside from this ginormous, huge, massive scale world tour that they announced, that's been pretty much it, that as far as news on Blink-182 front. They've put out the one song with the one music video, and I think there were pre-sale vinyls for when the album does drop, but there's been no announcement on when the album's dropping. There has been no new singles. There has been no new potential artwork. They are currently on tour around the world, yet today they're in Detroit. It's kind of cool to think about. I just remembered that, like, I'm going to be heading there, and, like, these dudes that I've watched on the internet are, like, going to be in the same room as me. Again, I've done it before, and they're just dudes. They're not gods. They're not prophets. I get it. It's just cool. It's just cool, right? It's cool. I can say that. So let's catch us up to today. Yesterday, a person who shall remain nameless, who I think I've already said this, messaged me out of the blue and said, David, I'm only saying that he shall remain nameless, because I said, hey man, I would really love to shout you out for this. Like, this is incredible. I cannot believe you're doing this for me. This is amazing. He's like, dude, I just be thankful and enjoy Blink-182. Don't shout me out. It's fine. Like, I don't need nor want that. Okay. All right. Fine. I think maybe one day I'm going to reveal his name, because maybe he's going to be on the podcast, but for now, he shall remain nameless. He just messaged me and said, do you have tickets for Blink-182? There was a period of time when I was going to have tickets to see this show, but as I'm sure most of you are familiar with, because it's in the news and it's probably happened to you directly, Ticketmaster is a criminal organization. I said it. Ticketmaster is a criminal organization. If a band sells a ticket, if a band says, we would like to charge $40 to our customers, or to our fans, to see our event. Now, I'm not saying Blink-182 said this number, I'm just saying this is an example. If Blink-182 said, we would like to charge our fans $40 to see them, and then the venue says, well, we would like to charge Blink-182 X amount of money to have your event here, Blink-182 would wrap that up into the ticket prices. And that's why they're charging tickets for the amount they are. If you go on to Ticketmaster, at maximum, there should be whatever, in order to keep this business alive, a processing fee of, like, I don't know. Can I even say, is 10% even fair? I don't know. The tip weight, I don't know. I really don't know what is a fair number. However, Ticketmaster does not have, at least in my, let's use the word allegedly before I throw any of this stuff out here, because I don't fucks with it, but I hears about it, okay? Ticketmaster just sells available tickets that people are selling, that are available. So it's like an eBay for tickets, where people can post their tickets on there. So not only is Ticketmaster allowed to charge processing fees for, like, internet processing fee, and they can charge you, like, $50 to $100 just to, like, give you the ticket that you've already paid for through the band, just because they can. That's where you get the tickets, that's where you buy your ticket. Sometimes it's the only place you can get tickets, because they literally lobby Congress to mandate, or to make it harder to sell tickets. I'm going to say allegedly again, and I'm not articulating this particularly well. I listen a lot. I study a lot. I do not talk about it a lot, because I try not to be that guy. Am I about to get pulled over? That's my real question. Because the lights have come on. No. No, they pulled over a person behind me. Excellent. I hate that. Also, I'm about to experience like a Final Destination moment because I'm behind a logging truck. God, whole rant about... Anyways, people can scalp tickets and then resell them and then they get sold through Ticketmaster. So, all that to say, your $40 ticket, it no longer costs $40. Sometimes it costs like $600. And for a good amount of tickets, when they first were announced for Blink-182, they were ungodly expensive. I was not able to pay for them. Then they sold out very quickly because that's how Ticketmaster does it. They only sell out a certain amount of them. And then throughout the process between when they first go on sale and now, people can scalp them. They can sell them for however much they want. And occasionally, like 5 minutes before the show, those scalpers will give up and be like, okay, I need to get some money back on this. Here's walk-in price. Great. That's what people pay. It's a risk. I wouldn't drive 3 hours to Detroit for that risk, but some people do it. It's crazy. It's criminal. It should not be allowed. It's ridiculous. Okay? I'm too broke for that shit. Anyways, I was not able to order the ticket. I was not able to buy it. That's fine. The gentleman who may remain nameless, that's how I know that I've said it, because I was struggling to say remain nameless, out of the blue gifted me and said, would you just like to see Blink-182? And gave me a ticket yesterday. It's probably impossible to hear me because I'm running through so many potholes. Fuck Michigan roads! I'm so excited! I'm so thankful to have cool friends who are kind enough and generous enough to, out of the goodness of their heart, take their hard-earned money that they probably could have either used on like a friend to like go with them or whatever. I'm in a different section than him. I'm gonna be totally alone by myself at the show, just to be clear. It's a one ticket by myself. That's totally fine. It'll be my third time seeing them. It's cool to know that this is the reunion show. Feels like there's maybe some like history behind it. Who knows what people will think about Blink-182 in the future. You know, I see them as my biggest inspirations, and it's really cool to be able to see them in this particular moment in history, okay? I'm just very thankful to have friends who were down to just hook me up like that. Wow, that was a really loud motorcycle. I should probably wrap this up because I'm getting heated and my battery's about to die and I don't want to switch the battery. And a lot of what I'm doing is potentially unsafe, possibly, but I'm really just trying to treat the camera as if it is a passenger in my car. But it's getting real bumpy. I'm getting into the south thumb part of Michigan, so the roads are fucking atrocious. So it's probably really loud, and you probably can't hear me. That's why I'm trying to shout, and I'm going to lose my voice just from podcasting in a car. Oh, it got smooth. That's nice. Today is going to be a good day because for free, out of the goodness of a friend's heart, I get to see the band that really inspired me to kind of pursue music in the way that I have. And we're going to get to that thematic end that I'm trying to go for here. But I'm also going to catch up with the guys in Live For Tomorrow, at least Nikolai and Ethan. I believe they're the only ones from Live For Tomorrow that will be there. I think. I could be wrong. As you may have heard through past episodes, I've really dealt with ego in my life in a big way. And especially when I left Live For Tomorrow and I watched them experience a success that I was not a part of, I was really envious. I really wanted that. And I walked away from it for ego purposes that eventually I do believe worked out in the end, but I didn't allow myself to really feel that in the moment. That created resentments between people who, or between myself and people who I believe are my brothers. Because at the end of the day, like, we experienced a foundational, monumental moment in time together that shaped who we will be for the rest of our lives. Not only will we always love Blink-182, no matter what, unless, you know, barring any scandal. Wow. Look back in time, r/remind me, or whatever the hell. Just remind me whenever a scandal comes up that this moment happened. But, yeah, not only are we, like, still gonna love Blink-182, but, like, we're probably always going to be musicians at our core, so long as our body is willing. The way that we, like, joke, not just on stage. I'm getting a call from Caldwell, Texas. Fuck robot calls. I'm trying to make a damn point. I'm just saying these guys are my brothers, and there have been times in my life that through music and band-related issues and ego combined, I have cast aside, or they have cast me aside, or there have been resentments or wedges or whatever. But we are allowing ourselves, we have allowed ourselves, to view our lives on a spectrum as a whole and put those differences that we had in the past aside, because not only were we kids, but, like, we were also just very, very different people. Like, yes, we are closer to the people we will inevitably end up being, but, like, we didn't believe the same stuff we believe now. We didn't, whatever. I don't have to continue this analogy, you understand. I just love these guys, and the fact that we're experiencing this cyclical experience of seeing Blink-182 reuniting as a band just to, like, be bros together and not even just make music, but just get down to the roots of why we wanted to experience music in the first place. Why we wanted to do music in the first place is because we watched these guys. And here's that point that I'm trying to get to. It really allows me to tell myself that my best days may still be ahead of me. When you look at the trajectory of Blink-182, there were breakups. There were multiple near-death incidences where Travis Barker was in his near-fatal plane crash. He could have died. Multiple people did die. Mark Hoppus is recovering. I never know how to use the proper term because I feel like, right, if you have cancer... The main thing, he had cancer. It is either in remission or it's out of his body. I'm not sure how that works. But he's not dealing with the crippling side of cancer. I'm going to have to switch my freaking battery at this point when I'm making my point. I'm going to have to pull over and switch batteries. I'll see you in a second. I'm rapidly approaching my destination. I switched batteries and I've observed that this battery is almost dead. So there is now a forced ending. But I was trying to make my damn point because I just ramble all I'm trying to say at the damn end of this podcast was that it's really cool to be experiencing this cyclical experience of seeing this band after their third or second or whatever, after they've reunited multiple times, after breaking up, having near-death experiences of car crashes and cancer and divorces, and I'm not saying divorces near death, but you understand, divorces and breakups and trauma and tragedy, and yet they're still bros after all of it. They love each other. They're willing to make music again together. And I'm not saying that we're all these road, these potholes, these sounds, they're all Every pothole, every, like, road strip, it all sounds like a butt noise. While I'm trying to be sentimental, I'm gonna wrap this podcast. This is awful. I cannot wait to see this show. I cannot wait to hang out with my old and dearest friends and reminisce about the band that started it all for us. Fuck this camera. Fuck road vlogs. They're extremely difficult. Thank you so much for listening. We get it. You love Blink 182. Yeah, I'm starting to think that myself. All right. I'll see you next week. I hope. I'm sorry. I've been gone from time to time. Yeah, I take these weeks off and I don't announce them. And that's okay. Right, David? Right. Love you guys.